His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz. His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power. And more black power for my people. This is your brother, soldier, comrade in arms, Sean Kwali, broadcasting live to you once again from the hells and the smells of North America. And once again, we got to bring it to you raw. We got to bring it to you straight up. We got to bring it to you with no chaser as we talk to you from our broadcast, from our broadcasting airwaves called Black Power Radio. And of course, if you have been following along with us over these few months we've been on the air, you already know this is the new Black Panther Party. It's the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. And this is the most hard-hitting, most revolutionary, most raw, most cutting-edge, most activist revolutionary radio anywhere to be found, not only in North America, but to be found in the world. And so, hell, we can't just be landlocked to this beast called America. We got to travel. We got to be true Pan-Africanists. We got to have our passports together. Huh? Got to have the passport together to be able to cross across the water and go talk to our brothers and our sisters across the waters and understand that the same beast that bit us bites them too. And so we look forward tonight to talking to our big brother, talking to a dynamic activist and organizer, a brother who has been in the struggle for a little while now. We're talking about our brother, Brother Kimur. Our brother Kimur, Areem Shabazz. We're talking about Brother Kimur, Areem Shabazz, our international figure and leader there in France. Yeah, that's right. The new Black Panther Party is in France. We are in France. We are in England. Hell, we in Canada. From what I understand, we even in China. The new Black Panther Party ain't playing. Hell, it ain't. It's not our people overseas that don't know what time it is. We got to round up some knucklehead, hard-headed black men and women here in the shores of North America who don't know what time it is. But the international scene is on fire. The international scene is on fire, and so we want to definitely have a nice fireside chat with our brother who has been under some persecution, by the authorities there in France. And so we want to talk to him. I don't know exactly what number he's calling from. Let me see if this is him now. 904-705, you're on the air with Black Power Radio, Black Power. 904-705, you're on the air, Black Power. Okay, so that wasn't Brother Kimmy, and so we will definitely hold till our big brother get in there, get on. But hell, like I'm saying, family, And not only are we catching the heat and catching the persecution here on the shores of North America, the battle is raging on all across the globe. There is conflict and wars and strife and bloodshed happening all around the globe. It's all around the globe. You can't even escape it. If you are afraid of some fight now, if you are afraid of some fierceness today, if you're afraid to get in and get your nose bloody, you living in the wrong time. You're living in the wrong time, black man and black woman. Living in the wrong time. This is the time for warriors. This is the time for soldiers. This is the time for healers. And this is the time for some killers as well. This is the time that the ancestors prayed for and begged for and couldn't wait to see, the time where we clash with this blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned, buttermilk-complected beast, this cracker, this white man. This is the time that they've been waiting on and that we have been waiting on. So we're living in that time now. We talked in the last show about the effects of imperialism, the effects of European or white-centered imperialism, taking over the land, dominating the land, and making the people be subordinate under their control. And so, hell, we know if we are under another people's control that we must get free. We must get free in America. But see, the stench of the skunk has not only affected those who are in the hells of North America. And see, this is, I have to say this, because for those of us who have never traveled outside of the bounds of North America, you might think that the condition that you see in your neighborhood, or the condition that you see in your borough, or the condition that you see on your block is only germane to you. We might actually think that. You might actually think that the crime and that the violence and that the poverty and that the ignorance is only germane to the block that you own or the borough that you're from or the province that you're in. No, sir, no, ma'am. This is a global problem. Africa is affected right now by white supremacy. Right now, black Africa is affected by white supremacy. They have puppet governments, puppet leadership that bow to U.S. imperialist interests, that don't intend on letting the people do for self and having a black land with black thoughts under black law. It ain't just in Africa. As we said, it's in France. In France. France under control. Under regime control. Not able to express themselves and be themselves and go for black self-determination. Hell, it's there in the Isles of the Pacific and in the Caribbean, under control, under control. Everywhere where you find a black and white dynamic, you will find that the black man is at the bottom and the white man, the white woman is on the top. I'm trying to tell you something. Wherever that dynamic exists, you find the black man and black woman on the bottom, and you find the white man and the white woman, or if there's not a white man, you find the light man and the light woman on the top. And so the new Black Panther Party, we are intent on cutting off the head of the snake. We will cut off the head of the imperialist snake, the subordinate, the dominating snake that has its body wrapped around the neck of the black nation. See, while we're busy fighting each other, bickering with each other, name-calling with each other, trying to find a flaw here or there with each other, the white man and the white power structure is busy controlling the globe, controlling the order, controlling the universal flow of things, while we're busy in ourselves battling against each other because we don't like the way something went. We don't like the way a person said something. We don't like the way somebody did something. And so while we're going through all of this, the globe and the power and all of that is being taken from us, family. It is being taken from us and usurped from us, and it is being snatched from us as we talk and as we work and as we move right now in 2010. Our mission is a mission of liberation. Our mission is not a mission impossible. We're not talking no movie talk here. We're talking a mission of liberation. First, starting with freeing our minds. Freeing our minds and freeing our hearts. First, freeing our minds and then ultimately freeing our behinds. Hell, we got to free our minds first. We so spooked out. So spooked out, waiting on something outside of ourselves to help the condition that we in, to help our financial condition, to help our moral condition, to help our spiritual condition, to help our political condition. We waiting on something to solve our problems, and the answer sitting right up there in the brain that we have in our heads. Use only, we're already only using, they say, about 10% of the brain as it is. Yeah, that's right. They say, that's just what they say now. They say, scientists say that the average individual is only using about 10% of their brain matter and brain power. And so they say that even the so-called greatest amongst us, the so-called greatest amongst us is only using 12% of the brain, 12%. And so you got at least 50%. I'm sorry, you got at least, pardon me, 80% to 90%, really 90% that's left that's not even being used. You got 90 to 85% of that brain matter that is not being used. We got all that brain matter and brain power that's not being used, and it's not being placed towards liberation. It's being placed and used towards upholding the establishment. This is what the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, was steering us away from. This is what our national chairman, Attorney Malik and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, is taking us away from, taking us away from the establishment. You got to be taken away from the establishment. We got to be snatched away from the establishment. The establishment is the reason why things are going the way that they're going. It's the reason why black people are self-destructing, genocidal, maniacs, ignorant, dead to the knowledge of ourselves. The establishment is the reason why our people live in impoverished conditions, and only a few of the people live beyond meager means. The establishment is the reason why our people work jobs that keep you just over broke and just enough money to keep the lights on and keep food in the refrigerator, but not enough money to flourish and do well for yourself. The establishment is the reason. The power structure is the reason. The way that this society is organized is the reason why our people have not yet met total self-determination. And so this is what we have to talk tonight about, and what we have to bring our brother Kimur Shabazz on to talk about. We have to talk about these things. You have to have somebody who is willing to point out what's going on. Somebody got to point it out. If you got a, you know, something in your nose, somebody got to love you enough to say you got something in your nose. Something in your nose, you know. And you got those that don't love you to let you walk around all day with something in your nose and you looking like a fool. Black people are looking very foolish right now, looking very foolish in general right now. And so we have to point it out, and we have to begin to move on what's going on. We can't allow our people to exist in this condition and nobody do anything. Nobody say anything. Nobody work to make a difference in what's happening in the world today. This is tragic, brothers and sisters. And not only to talk about what's going on in America, but to just talk about what's going on in the world is tragic, family. It's tragic. You got young boys, young girls, men and women that are being killed and slaughtered right now just because they don't agree with the establishment, because they don't agree with the status quo. I'm talking in America and out of America right now. America is pushing a status quo agenda. The power structure is pushing a status quo agenda. And that imperialist idea has stretched around the globe, and so many other nations are now pushing a status quo agenda. So when you get people, brothers and sisters, who don't want to be slaves, and they stand up and they talk like you and I are talking, and they think like you and I are thinking, and they work and maneuver like you and I are maneuvering, then the establishment begins to move on these brothers and these sisters, as in the case of our brother Kimura, brother Kimmy Siva, as he's known, brother Kimura Shabazz. They are working against the brother. The brother is under all kind of political propaganda assault. He's also under actual physical threats. They have actually physically threatened the life of our brother and our representative there in France. But he moves on undeterred, as a true Panther should. Hell, we move on. It don't matter what your threats are. It doesn't matter what, you know, your position is against us. We know and we're clear on what our mission is. We're clear on why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing. We're clear on what needs to happen in 2010. So no matter who says what, who does what, who comes against us, who rears their ugly head to work manners of evil against us, the new Black Panther Party moves forward. No matter what happens, no matter what goes on, the new Black Panther Party has to move itself forward. We don't have time to stop and to bicker and to beef and to worry and to complain. And while we're doing all of this bickering and beefing and complaining and contemplating, our people are suffering and dying on a day-to-day basis. We'd be no different than the hypocrites that are out there. We'd be no different than the hypocrites that are out there talking about Black power, talking about Black liberation, but never going to the actual people that need Black power and the people that need liberation. We'd be no different. And so we have to separate ourselves. You have to separate yourself, brother and sister, from those that ain't doing nothing. Got to be a day of separation. See, the only way that this Black power will spread around the world is if they know that those that are the chief proponents of Black power are serious. The people in France definitely want Black power. After being under white rule, the way that they've been under white rule, they definitely want Black power. And those who are wise are organizing with Brother Kimura, organizing with him. And I'm saying to us that's in the hells of North America, hell, if you want Black power, you got to be wise enough to organize underneath the leadership of attorney Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Straight up, you got to be willing to organize with an organization that is pushing straight Black power, straight up empowerment for Black people. Ain't nobody else talking Black. Ain't nobody else talking about Black power. And if they talking Black power, you know what I'm saying, for the most part, most of the people talking Black power are either infused with white folks all throughout the organization in some kind of way or another, or they don't have a program or a position. So they go whichever way the wind blow. And we are telling you, and I'm telling you, Sean Kwali, I'm telling you, that we have a straight-up program. We have straight-up principles and straight-up points and straight-up dedications that we do every single day, that we push for every single day, that we organize for every single day to make sure that the Black man and Black woman can walk in the light of a brighter sun. We ain't selling you no pipe dream. This type of movement wouldn't go around the world. It wouldn't go to no France. It wouldn't go to no Canada. It wouldn't go to no China if we were selling a pipe dream. It wouldn't do that. Hell, I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, you got to put your trust in the Black Power Movement. You got to put your hope in the Black Power Movement. The Black Power Movement is the only movement in the world that can reach this generation. And so what I'll do here at this junction is take a quick pause for the cause and see if we can't pull our big brother, Brother Kimmy Seba, on the line. And so I think we'll do like they used to do. We'll play some music for you real quick. We'll come right back with Black Power Radio.
Yo, hip hop started out in the heart, yo. Not everybody trying to charge, say what, hip hop started out in the heart, yo. Not everybody trying to charge.
Come on now, baby, come on.
Come on.
So black power, my family. We just was trying to pull up our big brother, Brother Kimura, Areem Shabazz. And so, hell, we talking about a global struggle, family. I just want to let us know we are not in this struggle alone. That's what I'm trying to say. We have to make international contact. We have to develop international trade. Got to begin to start thinking outside of your own hood. Start thinking outside of your own area and begin to think international struggle. Now, you know, that's when the enemy really moved on our big brother, Minister Malcolm X. They really moved on him when he began to talk international. They moved on our national chairman when he began to move international. They moved on Minister Farrakhan and others on the international level. Once you begin to take struggle past your own four corners of your block and your wall and your house, that's when you really become a threat. I'm saying now, that don't mean that you're not a threat in your home. You can be a threat in your home. But when you are talking about some serious organizing, you're talking about making a move for freedom, and this move for freedom goes past your block and what's relevant to you and your city. Hell, that's when, oh my goodness, that's when you really get in the scope. That's when we get in the scope. And so, hell, as we see now, other nations, other people, other black people are standing up across the world. I mean, let's be real. For a lot of what we take in North America, had this happened overseas, they would have been tore some stuff up in the way that it happened here. They would have been tore it up. They, you know, something small happened. They set the cars on fire. They going buck wild. We just docile, man. We just docile because I guess we used to it. It's like being in your funk for so long. You know, if you go to a spot, it got a certain smell or whatever, you know, and you be in it for so long, after a while, it don't even really bother you no more. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we've been in the funk for so long that we kind of are developing, you know, immunities to the funk. And I'm saying straight up, we cannot develop immunity to the funk. There's no way we can develop immunity to this funk. This is treacherous. This is terrible. And not only is it funky, but they took and built a society off of the funk, off of the dirt, off of the destruction of black civilization. Huh? Check for Chancellor Williams. Ashe. Huh? I'm telling you, they built an empire off of the destruction of black civilization. And so if this don't bother you, if this don't piss you off, then you dead as hell. How in the world can you see your people destroyed for a lack of knowledge and a lack of self-respect and it don't bother you? How can you see what's going on in the world today and see how we're living and nobody else is living like us and this don't make you upset? Come on, family. This has got to piss you off. It's got to piss you off to the point to where you're willing to do something. You know what I mean? If somebody disrespected your family, you'd be up in arms. If somebody disrespected you, somebody just nudged you the wrong way, you'd be ready to, you know, do what you got to do. But when will we start feeling our brothers and sisters' pain and feel the pain of our ancestors who struggled, bled, and died? You know what I mean? There's bones of our ancestors in the soil because of who beasts murdered a black pregnant woman. Murdered a black pregnant woman, tied her to two horses and made the horses run in the opposite direction. Huh? There's bones and DNA and blood in the soil because the white man was jealous of the black man's stature and abilities and murdered the black man put him in the dirt, hung him from a tree, hung him from a tree and hung her from a tree just because we wanted to be free, because we ran away from the plantation that we wasn't supposed to be on in the first place. This got to bother you. See, we the descendants of slaves, family. We the descendants of slaves in America, and we are great people. This has to disturb you. This has to disturb the people. And see, the difference is between us and those of our brothers and sisters in France, many of our people in across the waters, across the Atlantic, they haven't experienced it like that. See what I'm saying? We talk about the African brothers and sisters who come over here and why they think the way that they think, you know, but many of them are disconnected from that. They didn't experience being robbed of their names, many of them. They didn't experience being robbed of the language. They didn't experience being robbed of the culture. Didn't experience none of that. So they're disconnected. And so when you and me come around talking about, you know what I mean, the white man is the devil, you know what I'm saying, they don't understand as well. They understand really through the acts of aggression, through the acts of war, but they don't understand through the acts of psychological damage and destruction. See what I'm saying? So we got to make our people acquainted with the full scope of this disaster. We got to make our people around the world understand that it's a red alert situation, not only where you at, but where we at too. And once we connect the pieces of the puzzle together, we one solid wall. That's why it's important to talk about France. That's why it's important to talk about the black people that's in London, England, the black people that's in Canada. Huh? That's why it's important to talk about the black people that's wherever they at in the world, wherever we at, wherever we can be found. That's true Pan-Africanism. True Pan-Africanism is being one family, one nation, no matter where that black man or that black woman is found in the world. The number one trick that the white man played on us was to make us think that we was different people. They played that trick good. And so you had this tribe over here and that tribe over there, and this tribe speaking this language over here, that tribe was speaking this language over here. You know what I'm saying? And before the white man came in and invaded the lands, hell, we was, you know what I mean, we was existing, coexisting in harmony. We existed under the laws of Maya. We existed. You know what I'm saying? So even if you spoke a different language, you know what I mean, and we had a different language, but we could always pull in a translator and get something done. But when the white man interfered and started playing both sides against each other, then you had, you know, the genocide that came in. And so we do it today in a modern sense. You see it on a low level with the street tribes and the gangs, the Bloods, the Crips and all that. You see that. You know what I'm saying? But hell, we even do it in the so-called conscious community. In the so-called conscious community, we break off into sects and parties. We break off into one set over here, this set over there. I can't fool with this one. I can't mess with that one. I can't roll with this one. I can't do this one. And all along, not understanding that when the beast kick in the door, they don't give a damn what your organizational title is. I'm telling you something I know. When the beast kick in your door and come in and talking about get on the ground, they are not asking you what the hell organization you in. They don't give a damn. They asking you, or they telling your ass to get on the ground. You know what I'm saying? And at that point, it's about survival. And so what I'm saying is, when you have situations like Oscar Grant, you know what I mean, who was assassinated in plain view on the BART railway system, on the BART system, assassinated. When you got things like this going on, how in the hell do we have time to sit back and bicker with each other? We don't have that kind of time. The only time we got is to find out what somebody's role is going to be. Got to find out what your role is going to be, what part you're going to play in this. And then you got to fall in. Got to be willing to fall in and be a part of the movement. Yeah, you can't have no movement and you outside of the motion. You outside of the shaking. You outside of the waves. That ain't being in the movement. You know what I'm saying? Hell, anybody can be a commentator. Ain't nothing worse than an arrogant commentator that's telling the players on the court, on the field, what the hell they supposed to be doing. Hey, you can, I'm saying, damn, we in the pocket. We on the field. We got to make split-second decisions that determine whether we win this thing or we lose this thing. And that's the same way here in Black Liberation. We on the field. You got to be on the field. Got to be willing to get in the game. And then while we in the game, then you could say, okay, well, maybe Brother Sean, you could do it better like this. Maybe we can make a difference like that. Maybe we can help it out this way. But if you ain't willing to be in the game, then shut your punk ass up. I'm telling you straight up. If you ain't willing to be in the game, go sit down somewhere. Sit down and really just wither away. That's all you can do. All you can do is sit down and wither away. Because this is a serious life-changing situation. Our people desire freedom. And we desire freedom. And it's enough cats running around playing games as it is. Hey, the people in France are not going to take this serious if we ain't taking it serious in North America. The people across the seas ain't going to take it serious. They're not going to give us resources and minerally rich land and whatever we can get. You know what I mean? In fair exchange and barter, they're not gonna do that if we playing games and playing around. And every time the enemy make a move, we can't even move on the enemy because we're so busy talking about what kind of shoes somebody got on, and you know what I mean? That their beret was crooked, or whatever. They're not gonna do that. We gotta get serious. Gotta be serious organizers. Got to be serious about what we're doing. Got to be serious about implementing Black Power. Hell, when Kwame Ture and our big brother Mukasa Ricks, who initiated that whole slogan in the first place and stance in the first place, when they threw that out there, Black Power, they weren't throwing it out there to play no games. They weren't throwing it out there to just be sounding good and sounding slick and, you know what I mean, making it sound like something pretty. It wasn't like that. That was a rallying cry for those that had heart, for those that was willing to throw down, for those that didn't want to be, you know what I mean, in a nonviolent movement and didn't want to sit back and get their asses whipped, you know what I mean? Get their tails tucked in. That Black Power meant something to the youth, man. And it's got to mean something today. Black Power got to mean more than just throwing your fist in the air and, you know what I mean, and making a little gesture. It got to mean more than that, and it is more than that. And so, hell, we got to make it real. Black Power means taking over the land. I'm trying to tell you something. As we wait on Brother Kimmy, Black Power means taking over the land. We got to be getting together arguing about who going to take what corner of the land, what part of the land you going to get. Nah, I'm a build a hospital over here. Nah, I'm going to build a school over here. Nah, I'm going to build a community center over here. That's the kind of argument we need to be having. And we ain't having them kind of arguments. We ain't having the right kind of arguments. I don't got time to, and I mean, argue about whether a person should speak Swahili or whether a person should do this. You free. You a black man. Hell, all of that. See, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad taught us that all of that has African root, man. All the spiritual systems have African root. And as long as you respect it and study it from a Black liberation theology, as long as you can look in the mirror and see your spirituality or see your God and see your creator and see yourself, hell, you all right with us. Hell, but if you look in and you see that pale-faced blue-eyed thing, hell, we got some issues. We got some issues. So be whoever you are. It ain't my choice to tell you what to be. Be whatever you are, but whatever you going to be, gotta be a revolutionary. Gotta be a straight-up revolutionary. Can't be no punk. Can't be no sissy. Can't be no coward. Gotta be a revolutionary. You know what I mean? And see, that's the kind of attitude that's spreading across the world. I'm trying to just enlighten us on it. That's what's spreading. And see, that's the thing that CNN is not going to tell y'all. CNN is not going to tell you what's happening. They're not going to give you the real scoop. That's why they don't like guerrilla radio. They don't like it. We'll take a quick call here. Maybe this is Brother Kimmy. 651-329. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or your comment, Black Power.
Hey, what's going on with you, my brother, man? It's International Booby.
Hey, what's going on with you, Black Power, to you?
Hey, doing good. Black Power, doing good, man. I'm down with what you're saying. I am also a black revolutionary. You know what I'm saying? I go out in the streets, cutting through alleys, no matter if it's 20 below, make sure the kids and teenagers are safe and, you know, get my hands dirty, as they would say. You know, I used to be on the streets doing all types of crazy bug stuff, you know, but now I can take that energy, you know, and put it towards our peoples, you dig? As far as that same energy I had when I was ready to, you know, put in work for the hood that wasn't mine, I'm ready to put in that same work for my brother, you know. That's what I'm talking
exactly.
about, man. Like power, man.
Now, exactly. Turn it around. See, the thing is, what I tell the G's is this: is that there ain't nothing wrong with being a soldier. You just got to know what army you fighting for. You know what I'm saying? You got to know what army you fighting for. I'm not gonna bang on a man because they got red or they got blue and we both being played by the white. Come on, now that don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? But ain't nothing
yeah,
wrong
yeah.
with being a soldier. Ain't nothing wrong with being a warrior. Ain't nothing wrong with knowing how to shoot, when to shoot, and who to shoot. Ain't nothing wrong with none of that. You know what I'm saying?
You know, now you know, and we're talking about revolution. What I have figured out in my endeavors of trying to help people, the revolution is about to be about the world of mine. You know, now you know a lot of brothers talk, you know, and sisters talk about how we got here, who's to blame, what should we do, what shouldn't we do. But, you know, now, like you said, the argument now is solution. What are we going to do with solution? Are we going to be scared to get our number out on the air and connect with our fellow brother? You know what I'm saying? As far as, like you said, bartering. You know what I'm saying? As far as communication, as far as farming. You know, what about, you know, we're going to talk about the solution. I think we should talk about the solution and networking.
Straight up. That's what we about, man. That's, you know, anytime, I just try to keep it like this. Anytime a person comes this way, male or female, you always want to, of course, you got to address what's going on. You know, so that's why you're here talking about it. You got to address what's happening, whatever's going on. Because like I said, we already know that old funny looking Bill O'Reilly, he ain't finna tell you the truth. You know what I mean? Pill popping Rush Limbaugh, he ain't gonna tell you the truth. You know what I mean? None of them, none of them that's paid them millions of dollars to kick out that propaganda, they ain't gonna kick the truth. And so when we have, you know, what we call proper propaganda or guerrilla campaigns like this, we gotta bring it to you raw and uncut, the way that it's going down in the streets. But once it's out there, then it's up to us to say, okay, now what we gonna do? All right, what we gonna do? And once the show is over with. And so, anytime that you know that you come on this airways and you want to organize, and hell, that we right there with you, brother. We right there with you. What city you calling from, comrade?
I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Twin Cities, and I would like to lead by example right now and say, any brothers that's out there. You know, you don't have to be in Minnesota. You can be in the United States. This is a global thing where they're trying to think over my mind, over our minds. So, like I said, I'm going to lead by example, by networking. This is, my name is Orlando Wallace. That's, you see me on Facebook. That's my government name. I got no shame. The example is network. And my number is 651-329-5118. We can't be scared to throw our number out there and network.
No, not at all. Not at all. My number is one of the easiest numbers to get. Like I say, drop me an email, brother. We'll come through Minneapolis. Ain't no thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come through.
Mm-hmm.
Drop me an email.
Yeah.
MBPPHQ at Yahoo. MBPPHQ.
Right. So if you got access to the chat room, just put it up in there and I can copy it.
All right. Well, I'm going to drop it in the chat room so you can get it.
But for future reference. Yeah, for future reference, you know, you got your email, you know what I'm saying? But next time, you know, not telling you what to do or nothing, but we all need to get immediate access, like phone numbers. You know, they could be our throwaway phone so we can start networking and getting it in hard. Because, you know, a lot of brothers can't spell, and, you know, they're not really internet access. Because I'm calling to you from my phone. If I didn't know how to spell, I wouldn't be able to get access with you, but I would be too embarrassed to say so.
You can,
so,
you can always get my number. That's why I say email me. I'm not trying to talk to no crackers, man. And they will play on your phone.
Hey,
so I'm telling you,
because they on my phone playing right now as we speak. What I'm saying is, for the brothers that are not conscious of the internet and are not really that, you know, specialty on a school, numbers is always the key. That's what we got to start breaking into, giving out our numbers or our beeper numbers or our P.O. box numbers and really start doing some heavy networking. I just want
to
put that out there on the radio.
We with you. We with you all day. You thinking right. You thinking about a Black Power movement. That's what it is. You thinking right. So we with you. Like I say, I'm gonna drop it in the chat room. Make sure you know what I'm saying, put it down. Everybody else put it down. And let's network together. This is what it's about. Like I said, we got to be talking about making some moves, some serious moves. The thing they messed up when they made internet and they made telephone. Okay, they messed the hell up. Huey Newton and didn't have all this, man. They did not have all this. I'm just trying to tell you, they didn't have none of this. They just had typewriters and a telephone and some calls.
Yeah.
And look what they did. So how come we ain't pushing the program? You know what I'm saying? Way further along. It's because we ain't organizing in the proper fashion as a people. The path is the people. And so hell. I'm going to drop it in the chat room, bro. What you say your name was again? I didn't catch it.
International Booby.
Okay, brother. International. Brother International Booby, you said?
Yep. Real name, right. Orlando Wallace. You can find me on Facebook.
All right, that's what's up, Black. That's what's up. We gonna network, man. My pleasure to talk to you, brother. Keep listening to the show. We're trying to get brother Kimmy Seaborn. You know, he's in France. They're on a different time zone, so I don't know what's up with them.
International style.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
we're
talking about.
Oh, yeah. France, from France to, like I said, the mother country, you know, on the channel, I mean, probably China to Canada, to some other spots and across seas, and we're looking to build. So, hell, keep us in your thoughts and your meditations, Black, and we'll say Black Power to you.
Yeah, Black Power. Thank you, my brother.
So, thank you. That's our brother. That's our brother right there. Brother International Booby, man, pleasure. The brother's talking right. He's thinking right. Talking about organizing and organizing for solutions. That's the thing. I mean, look, now, let me say this. I'm not the kind of brother who thinks I got all the answers. It ain't even like that. With the new Black Panther Party, we ain't coming at y'all like we the only ones who gonna tell you what to do. We got all the answers. We not even thinking like that. We are the Black man and woman's political force. So we saying we got the answers. We got the answers. Collectively, we got the answers. We can really put this thing to rest, the problems that face and plague our community. We could put this to bed really overnight, for real. If we was on the same page and organized, we could put this thing to rest. But this is a 400-year-old problem. Because there's too many people that want to be the chiefs, and nobody want to, you know what I'm saying, fall in and work and get their hands dirty. Everybody want to, you know, not everybody, but you have so many that want to be seen and want to talk on the mic, want to be in front of the camera, don't want to, you know what I mean, be on the block, don't want to be in the streets. And that's what I'm saying. When you're in a revolutionary movement like this, we ain't got time for that. Can you imagine the Zapatistas? I don't know how many of y'all know about the Zapatistas, but if you don't know about the Zapatistas, look them up on Google. They're right there in Chiapas, New Mexico. They're another revolutionary movement that worked for their people. Can you imagine them? You know what I'm saying? Everybody in the Zapatistas just trying to be on the camera, just trying to be seen. Nah, the Zapatistas went up against their government. I mean, just straight up went up against the Mexican government and made the Mexican government, you know what I mean, back down. I mean, it was of course some bloodshed. We talking revolution, but they actually made the Mexican government back down. Look it up. This is real life. It happened. You know what I'm saying? But you got too many within the black movement that's posturing, that want to be seen, that want to be heard, and not enough people that want to do the work. Not enough that want to do the work. Not enough that want to get busy, get down, do this hard work. See, that's why you have so many that run away from the Panther Party. They, you know, you see us coming, you run the other way. Because when you say Panther, Panther means you got some work to do. You can't say that you a Panther and you ain't willing to do no work. You can't claim the legacy of Huey Newton or Chairman Bobby Seale or Eldridge or any of them, and you ain't willing to get busy and get out here in the streets like they was out in the streets. You can't say that. You're willing to push the 10-point program, but you ain't willing to go for point number 7 and put an end to police brutality. See, this means putting your life on the line. When you're talking Panther talk, it means you're putting your life on the line. That means that you already know you're going to be in the scope. You already know you're going to be the target. Huh? That's what it means. It means you already know you can't play no games. You got to take everything serious. You can't take nothing for granted. Hell, because you a Panther. The moment you put that Panther button on and put that patch over your heart, hell, it just seemed like you know how at nighttime when you cut the lights on and the bugs just fly all around the light? It's just how it is. When you put that Panther button on, you put that patch on, it just seemed like police come out of everywhere. Just seem like they come out of everywhere because they know the power of the Panther. Hell, they know the power of the Panther, but it's the people that got to get behind their own self-interest. Hell, you got all kind of white folks that's Democrats, all kind of white folks that's Republican, all kind of white folks that's in other things. You know what I'm saying? White folks is in all kind of avenues. Whatever they in, you shouldn't want to be in. Hell, you want to be in their thing for. What you want to be a part of their movement for? You know what I'm saying? Well, why the hell you want to be Tea Party? You know what I'm saying? You should have your own situation because ain't nothing that they have that's going to talk about black. They don't have anything that's going to talk straight up black. Anytime it involves them, they're going to make you water it down. See, that's one of the lessons that we learned from the Black Panther Party in the 1960s. They'd be like, why don't y'all let the white folks in? Because the white folks came in and they infiltrated. It's all in the counterintelligence program documents. They came in and they infiltrated. Using the names of the Peace and Freedom Party and other parties, they came in as straight-up operatives. And as hard as it is to organize our people and as many stool pigeons and black agents as they are in the world, damn sure ain't going to invite and let the white man come in and destroy the movement. That ain't going to happen. And so, hell, we must learn the lessons of history. That's the point. Learn the lesson of history. We got to get behind our own self-interest. You can't scream black power and be integrated with the white. It don't make sense. Doesn't make sense. We got to do for ourselves. And we got to do for ourselves. And that means carving out our own destiny. That means carving out our own situation. That means that somebody's not going to like what you're talking about. Somebody's going to be upset. That means you're going to make some folks angry because you pushing for black. See, there's no way you can push for black and then keep everybody happy. You know what I'm saying? That's why we already knew. That's why Obama told you. He said, I'm not a black president. He already told you that because he can't push no black agenda. He ain't going to. You know what I'm saying? And he lets you know he ain't going to push no black agenda. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, we got to push the black agenda. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad said black power and black nationalism got to be put back on the agenda. They took it clean off the agenda. They thought when they wiped out Minister Malcolm and his movement, they thought they took black power off the map. No, not at all. You didn't, because what happened again was Minister Malcolm was assassinated. Then you had the production of the Black Panther Party. And they thought that once the Black Panther Party was wiped out militarily, that you wiped out black power, you wiped out black militancy. Hell no. Every time you come against us, you only make us come back stronger. And so you want to know why the new Black Panther Party is so strong and why we take such a strong stance in defense against things? It's because they made us like this. If there wasn't no injustice in the world, you wouldn't have to have no new Black Panther Party. If they wouldn't mistreating and abusing black folks, wouldn't be no reason to have no new Black Panther Party in the world. The Honorable Minister Huey P. Newton used to tell all the time, he say, once the demands are met, you can disband the party. But hell, because there's so much injustice, oppression, abuse, brutality, murder, and everything else that we face on top of racism, hell, you got to have people that are willing to black boot stomp the hell out of Negroes and blue-eyed beasts who think they running something. I'm talking about black boot stomp they behinds to the ground. Can't be playing, man. Can't be playing. How are we going to say revolution don't know no compromise and then compromise? How you going to say revolution don't know no compromise, revolution is bloody, but then compromise and ain't willing to make no noses, make nobody bloody. He ain't willing to even make them psychologically bloody. As the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught and Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz teach today, you ain't even willing to kick over the garbage can. How in the hell can you even say that out your mouth? You can't claim to be a revolutionary and you ain't willing to ruffle some feathers. And so some of you scary punks, you run away from the new Black Panther Party because you say y'all going to cause trouble. Y'all are going to cause trouble. Damn it, you already in trouble, black man. That's why we here. You're already in trouble, black woman. That's why we here. Hell, when the house is on fire, you want the firemen to come in and take you up out of it. You want them to put the fire out. So why, if the black community is in trouble and on fire, why are you getting mad at us for dousing water on the flames? Come on now. We got to unite. Got to get strong. We got to turn up the heat on our oppressor. Why we got to be the ones always getting lashed and always getting blazed and always getting beat on? We got to turn the heat up on the oppressor, man. And I'm talking about all kind of ways. You got to turn up the heat. Why are we the ones taking the abuse? Why are we taking the abuse, family? It don't make sense. See what I'm saying? See, this is what produces a man like Brother Kimura. I'm going to keep on bringing him up. This is what produces him. A man built underneath oppression, built underneath regression, built inside of brutality. This is what produces a man like that and a movement like what's going on in France. This is what happens. When you don't give people justice, they're going to strike back. When you don't give people basic needs like land, bread, you know what I mean, clothes, housing, when you don't give them basic necessities, the people are going to take what they need. It's a damn shame when Hurricane America, a.k.a. Hurricane Katrina, hit and you have people in the water trying to forge to do what they need to do for their lives, and the news is on there calling them people criminals. The news calling the people refugees and calling the people criminals when they are in over waist deep water. It's over waist deep water. People drowning, disease and all kind of things going on, and they just trying to survive, and the news categorized them as criminals and refugees. See, they drop it to you subtly. They drop it to you in a subtle fashion, and you gotta, and your antenna, your radar, your third eye got to be keen enough to pick it up. Because if you ain't in tune, you're going to miss it. You ain't going to hear what they saying. You're going to think that they just talking. But they don't just say anything. The beasts don't say anything. Everything that they say on them type of mediums means something. They call your black self a refugee, man. A refugee. You know what I'm saying? Letting you know they feel like you ain't even from here. They feel like letting you know. They feel like you ain't running and we ain't running nothing. You know what I mean? call you a refugee and say that you a criminal when you trying to survive and make it out the water that they blew up, that they blew up. Hell, the hurricane didn't even send the waters down there in the black area. Didn't even send the water down there. That's what they haven't said. The hurricane only sent wind. It wasn't nothing but winds. They blew them damn levees. And that water came gushing down into the black area. And they did drown our people out and relocate our people so that when they rebuilt New Orleans, they could rebuild it to be a more tourist friendly attraction and move the white folks in and move the people with money in and take out the black area. It's happening all over America. All over America. They are gentrifying the land. All over America, they taking over the black land, and they putting up what they want to put up, and they moving black people to the outskirts. It's called gentrification, where because they control the land mass, they move you out, especially if you live in a housing project. They move you clean on out. They don't even guarantee you a place to live, or they'll promise you a place to live, and then it'll fall through. Many of the people that suffered from Hurricane Katrina still living in hotels and living with other people. And then when they was put up in trailers by FEMA, they had all kind of disease and pestilence and pesticides in the FEMA trailers, family. If you think that they not trying to kill you, you crazy as hell. In the FEMA trailers that was designed for rescue, to rescue our people who were the victims of a disaster, they had pesticides and harmful chemicals in the trailers. Now, there's a new Black Panther Party. Sound crazy when we say defend yourself, when we say arm yourself or harm yourself. Is that crazy when damn FEMA is putting chemicals and pesticides in your people's trailers? Is it crazy when they murder a man like Oscar Grant, who's handcuffed, didn't even do nothing at all? The police officer standing over with Oscar Grant, calling him a bitch-ass nigga. This is what came out in court, calling Oscar Grant a bitch-ass nigga. And, you know, they don't say nigga like us. They'll say nigger. They called him a bitch-ass nigga. That's what he called him. And then shot him in cold blood. You saw the tape. You saw the video. Is it crazy when the new Black Panther Party tell you to arm yourself or harm yourself, get knowledge that they won't give you in college? Is it crazy then? Nah, it's only crazy when we're comfortable. It's only crazy when we got food on our tables and we don't feel the heat the way that our people are feeling the heat. It's only crazy when it ain't knocked on our front door yet. But it's knocking on our front door now, brothers and sisters. It's knocking plain as day. The beast ain't playing with not nobody that want to be free. They intend to keep you enslaved, keep me enslaved. They intend that if you want to go free, that either they're going to keep you under the status quo, or they're going to jail you, or they're going to kill you, straight up. I was reading something today where some doctors were sentenced to death. I forget what country this was in, but some doctors were sentenced to death because they had infected little children with the HIV virus. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. This is real. They sentenced the doctors to death because the doctors infected the babies with HIV. You know what I'm saying? And hell, I'm trying to tell you, look, this ain't something that they just doing in little bitty foreign nations and foreign countries. Think about all the experimentation that's going on here in America. Hell, you go to many of the black stores. I'm just trying to show you something simple. You go to many black stores and black supermarkets. Why the food bad in our neighborhoods? The food is bad. The canned goods many times be outdated. You know what I mean? Be spoiled rotten in our neighborhoods. You don't think that'll have an ill effect on our health? You wonder why the the cancer's so high in the black community. You wonder why diabetes is so high in the black community. You want to know why HIV and AIDS is so high in the black community. It's a plot against black people. It is an orchestrated assassination of black people. That's why we talking black self-defense. That's why we talking and organizing for black power. Because we know that if our people stay in this country and stay in this condition in the power structure, the way that it is, that they will move on us however they can to maintain white supremacy in the white power structure, even when it got a black face. It don't matter what the face is. We're talking about the ideal that's in the person's head. If the man told you he ain't no black president, you can't expect him to kick no black power. He already let you know, going in the door, I ain't going to be the man to give you no black power. But when a brother like Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz stand up and say black power, we be like, oh, nah, I can't roll with that. I can't roll with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. He talking about black power. He too militant. He too radical. He going to shake things up. But damn it, things need to be shook up. They need a damn black power earthquake to hit the planet. You know what I'm saying? We need a straight up black power tsunami to hit the planet. I mean, just real. Just a straight up wall of just productivity and positivity. Black power is our actions. Black power means what you're willing to do, man. What you're willing and what I'm willing to do in the name of black, in the name of being African, in the name of being one nation, with one God, one aim, and one destiny. That's what we're talking about. Huh? I mean, I'm just trying to, I hope y'all can feel my spirit. I mean, as we talk, we're talking about France because France reflects what happens in the U.S., and the U.S. is happening, reflecting part of what's happening in France. The black man and black woman's condition is the same all over the world. It's the same. They might have a different accent. They might have a different dialect. They might have a different dialogue. But hell, we in the same condition. We all are up underneath a beast that don't love us and ain't going to let us go. They ain't going to let you go. You can go to school, you can go to college, you can go to work, you can do whatever. You can work for yourself even at times. And they some kind of way intend on tripping you up, tracking you up, and holding you down. Just straight up. I mean, come on, call it like it is. It's been going on for 400 years. This has been happening for 400 years. We didn't just wake up in this condition. We didn't just wake up and things are aware. This has been going on. And if they was going to change it, they would have been changed it a long time ago. So stop waiting for some, you know what I mean, some old jolly white man to come along and say, okay, now you're going to be free. And stop waiting on some bootlicking Uncle Tom to do the same. It's going to take the revolutionary. That's the only way you get changed is a revolutionary. I don't care how you call it, what label you place on it. They got to be revolutionary. You don't get change unless it's revolutionary change, period. Ain't no Uncle Tom bootlicking, buck dancing, half-baked individual going to give you no revolutionary change. That's why, again, we went so hard against Michael Steele. We went hard against Michael Steele. Hell, here recently, we've been until he do the right thing, we going hard against Al Sharpton. Going hard against Sharpton and other people that's bootlicking and timing for the white man. This stuff is disgraceful, family. It's disgraceful. Again, when somebody like Mumia sitting rots in a cell, when the evidence clearly points that he's not guilty of the crime that they charged him of, and he's sitting rotten, but even though he's in the cell, he's still fighting a revolutionary fight. And then you got these old bootlicking times on the front line talking about their leadership. Hell no. Hell no. We're not going to disrespect Comrade Mumia like that. Hell no. We will physically sit you down. We calling on Sharpton to do the right thing. Be about your people. Be about the people. Don't go for a damn camera shot, for a damn sound bite. Be about the people. If you're gonna be a preacher, then be a preacher like Nat Turner was a preacher, a reverend. Be a reverend like Nat Turner, Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. Be one of them kind of people, man. There won't be no time for the white man. That time is out. It's a day of separation. We separating ourselves from you fools. From you fools that are so in love with the enemy that you sell out your own people at the joy of the beast. See, the problem is many of you don't think that the white man is a beast. You don't think that the white man is the devil and Satan, as we've been taught and have experienced. Many of y'all don't think that. Many of you really think that we are just brothers and sisters, and that they just happen to be, you know, white or light complected. You know what I'm saying? Some of us really think, you really think that, you know, it just happenstance that the Caucasian people enslaved a whole race, a whole nation of people. You really think it's happenstance? You really think that we just had the same blood? You know what I'm saying? We just the same people. They just happen to be white and we black. You crazy. If you think that after 6,000 years, you need to check yourself into a mental ward. You're sick. You're sick. After 6,000 years? After 6,000 years of suffering, murder, and brutality, we are supposed to be brothers? You can't go to the red man or red woman in the red nation and tell them that crap. Those that got knowledge of self, you can't tell them that crap. They gonna look at you and laugh. Hell, even in the so-called Jewish and German conflict, the so-called Jews will laugh at you if you told them to integrate with the German. They laugh at you. So why in the hell, after 6,000 years, would you ask me or ask us to integrate with the white man? Why would you ask us that? Why would you even suggest that? Why would you even fix your mouth, fix your African lips to even ask us how come we don't have white folks in the new Black Panther Party? Why the hell will we have white folks in the new Black Panther Party and we working against the white power structure? Come on now, let's use some sense here. Why in the hell? What do we need them for? What would be the purpose? Just to say we got white folks in the organization? Just to appear to be what? Multi-diverse, multicultural? Society ain't multi-diverse and multicultural. Black people face all kind of racism from all kind of cultures in this society. I'm just calling it straight. We're not out to, you know, what's that book? I think it was Dale Carnegie. We ain't out to win friends and influence people. That ain't necessarily in that context what it is. We are out for complete constructive change. Complete constructive change. And it ain't brought about by being no coward and by trying to kiss other people's behinds and backsides and, you know what I mean, bow down to somebody else's wishes. We trying to overthrow you. You know what I'm saying? That's the goal. The goal is to overthrow your ideas, overthrow what you have implanted in our people's brains and minds, overthrow everything that keeps us in this condition. We gotta turn you over. We got to turn you over and throw you out the way. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of talk that's missing. That's the kind of action that's missing. That's what's missing, that talk of taking over. You know what I'm saying? Taking the place of another. You know what I mean? Moving that brother, that sister out the way. They want to be a Tom and telling the people, nah, come follow us. I'm telling you straight, the new Black Panther Party, the best shot you got in terms of an organization. The new Black Panther Party, the best shot you got. Hey, you know what it means to be a panther. You know how serious the beast take the panther part. They don't take us serious just because we talking on the damn radio. They ain't taking us serious just because we happen to have a Black Power TV and we can put out some newspaper. That ain't the only reason why they take us serious. They take us serious because they know we say what we mean and we mean what we say. They move on our leadership because our leadership is an uncompromising, bold leadership. Straight up. uncompromising, bold leadership. And we come in the spirit of some uncompromising, bold brothers and sisters. Ain't no other group out there can claim to come in the footsteps and in the legacy and in the shadows of a man like Huey P. Newton. Ain't nobody, ain't no other group out there can claim that before the white man introduced crack cocaine into the ghettos, that the street tribes, the Bloods and the Crips spawned from that organization on a positive note, not the negative note, not the negative note. See the street tribes, all of them have constitutions. All of them have constitutions. And the constitution was to dictate how them street organization was to move throughout the community. It wasn't supposed to be lawless and savage. It wasn't supposed to be all brutal and, you know what I mean, you hurting and working against the black community. You couldn't call yourself a true member of the street organization. You working against the very thing that we here to protect. Some of y'all really, so I'm talking to the so-called thugs and the street tribe members. Some of y'all really needed to go look at the Bastards of the Party video. Go watch. It's called Bastards of the Party. You need to look at that. See where the hell you come from. See what your root is. See what the hell you supposed to be doing. Because right now, you're in the position of a black capitalist. You're a black capitalist because the white man put the crack cocaine and the cocaine in the black community, and it became about money. And so everybody was interested in the money and stop focusing on black empowerment, not realizing when you got black empowerment, you got black economic resource. You know what I'm saying? So when they moved against the Black Panther Party, they tried to cut the head or the brain of the whole movement out of the movement. And so you just had what looked like a Frankenstein. You just had a Frankenstein. You had the shell of the Panther, which is what them street tribes are, them street organizations, that militant posture, that militant stance, that can't nobody mess with me, can't nobody roll right here, we locking this down. That's the shell of the Panther Party. It's the shell because the Panther Party did that for black people. We locked it down. The Panther Party locked it down. For example, when the pig would move into the community and try to abuse the community, and we lock it down and say, you can't come through here with that. You know what I'm saying? If you go beyond the bounds of the law, we'll blow your damn head off. See, that's the shell of the Panther Party that you're rolling in to the street tribe member. But you don't have the political ideology. You have not been taught the political stance and the 10-point program and the revolutionary ideology of the Panther. And so that's what we're going to connect you with today. That's what we got to give to the so-called conscious community today. The Panther Party is missing in the conscious community. The Panther is missing. I'm talking about the spirit of the Panther, not us physically. The spirit of the Panther is missing in the conscious community. Tell, whenever the Panther Party came to the scene, you knew it was going to be some change. You knew it was going to be a difference made. When, you know what I'm saying, whether it's the Panther Party of the 60s or we're talking New Black Panther, when you had a serious New Black Panther organizer, you knew it was going to kick off. Wasn't there ready to be no joke. Wasn't there be no high time, no laugh, no, you know what I mean, no slapping fives. It wasn't going to be none of that. It was going to be serious business about black power. When the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad worked to put black power back on the map, he was one of the first to reintroduce black power. They had stopped even saying black power. Negroes wouldn't even say the word black power. They were scared they was going to be labeled a racist, scared to death. The white man was going to label them a racist. And hey, you the victim of racism, but you scared the white man gonna label you a racist. Scared to death. And so when he worked to put it back on the map, hell, when he produced this type of body in the New Black Panther Party, he said officially, he said, we ain't gonna have nothing to do with no white folks. That's what he said. He said, don't come talking to us about no integration. No multi-diverse nation, no integration, no holding hands with no white folks. He said, don't even talk to us about that. And so, you know, I asked the question, what's wrong with that? When you talk United Nations, if we're talking international, when you talking United Nations, every nation comes and sends a representative of its own people. Send somebody from its own nation. We the black nation. We are one people. We one body. Even if we speak different languages, come from different tribes, we one body, one massive solid wall of people. So how in the hell could we introduce anybody else? How in the hell could we work for anybody else's self-interest and our stuff ain't fixed? Our communities ain't solved. Our communities ain't together. How can we move to work and as some are doing, work towards being super integrationist, and the black community is in shambles? What happened? And then to some of the former militants who's trying to water down the militancy. You know what I'm saying? You can't water down the militancy just because you ain't living in the 60s or the 70s. Yeah, we need the militancy more now. We need the militancy more today in 2010 than y'all needed it in the 60s because you had more groups out then. You had all kind of groups out that was kicking all kind of knowledge and kicking all kind of teaching, kicking all kind of philosophy, having all kind of rallies and protests and demonstrations, and you had all kind of people out back in the day. In 2010, the field looked kind of bare. The field looked kind of bare in 2010. You don't see the revolutionary groups like you used to see them in the 60s. You could just literally scroll down the phone book in the 60s and run off into some CORE, run off into some RAM, run off into some SNCC, you know what I'm saying? Run off into some Black Panther Party, run off into some Deacons for Defense. You could run off into a whole lot of groups, even other revolutionary spiritual organizations. I mean, it was all there. And then when Hoover hit us with COINTELPRO, he disseminated all that. He destroyed all of that pretty much. But what he really did in truth was he broke the glass. He broke glass, and the glass scattered across the globe. That's what happened. And so now the only thing we got to do now is get the fear up out of us. We got to get the fear of the white man up out of us. Got to get the fear of the beast and the fear of the establishment up out of us. Yeah, there ain't nothing better than a fearless black man and black woman. It's just like being that lion in the jungle. When you that lion in the jungle, you hear that lion roar, everything got to sit down. I don't care how big it is. Everything, when that lion really, really gets serious and the lion really begin to wake up and really begin to roar and get that growl together, everything shut down. That's why our people put that symbol in the desert for us. Our people put that symbol, or that head of that black man, that black figure, that black figurehead at the top, with the body of a lion, or a lioness for the sisters, you know, because that means that once we wake up to our full potential, as it showed us there at Kemet, once we wake up and we begin to roar, then we will put everything on this planet back in order. See, the whole world is waiting on the black man and black woman to wake up, especially in North America. Not just France, not just London, England, but especially in North America. The whole world is waiting on us to get our black asses up and do for ourselves. They waiting on us. Hell, because they know we right here in the heart of the jungle. We right here in the heart of the whole situation. We right here. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? You scared? You say, well, I can't get involved, Brother Sean. I can't get involved. I'm too young. They locking the youth up left and right. Locking the youth up and locking the youth down left and right. You say, I can't get involved. Something might happen. Something might happen to you anyway. You could literally be sleeping in your bed and something might happen to you. Yes. Well, I've got my heart set on this degree and that degree. Okay, all that's cool. But you could literally today in 2010 get a degree and not have a job to use your degree in. That's what I'm saying. We're putting all our hope in the establishment and in the values of the establishment, and they keep letting us down. It's like being in an abusive relationship, and they beating the hell out of you, and you getting the snot and the mess beat out of you, but you keep on coming back. You keep on coming back, and we keep on coming back, and they bust you up and they bloody us up, and we keep on coming back. That's the relationship that we have in America to this structure. It's the same thing. We say we need a nation of our own. We got to do for ourselves, and in the same breath, do everything totally opposite of build a nation of our own. Instead of going to support a black business, we'll take our black behinds on the other side of town, go to the white store and shop all in the white store and smile all the militant says all in the white store, and then say we need a nation of our own. Or instead of, you know what I'm saying, buying up the land again, we'll let the Arabs come in and buy up all the land, or whoever's in the community, let them all buy up the land, and then get mad when they build liquor stores in our community and sell our people pork and sell our people things that are disastrous to our health. Get mad as hell. But we can't blame nobody but ourselves because we ain't buying up the land. How you going to get mad at the Arab for buying up the land or the Korean for buying up the land, and you ain't willing to put your nickels together and buy the damn land? You say, well, yeah, they come over here and they get tax status and all this. Yeah, okay, yeah, they do. So damn what? Make it happen. Quit being a whiner. If you gonna be a revolutionary, revolutionaries can't be whiners, man. How you gonna whine? Can you picture, you know, Kwame Nkrumah whining? Just a whining crybaby. You know what I mean? Can you picture Patrice Lumumba just a whining crybaby? Come on now. Picture Winnie Mandela. Can you picture Winnie Mandela as a whining crybaby? As strong as she was, she put the what they call the donuts, the tire donuts, doused in gasoline on the traitors' necks. Can you picture her as a whining crybaby? Hell no. So we can't be crybabies. We can't be no whiners and no excuse makers, man. Excuse making is out. Whining is out. The time for crying and complaining and bitching is out. All that is out and over with. It's over with. That's why we ain't making progress, because we too busy whining and complaining and being crybabies, and then real threats is coming in and buying up everything, taking over everything, and we sitting around crying about it. Talking about why they do that. Why the Arab come in our community and build up the store? Why the Koreans come in and build up nail salons? Damn fool, because you didn't buy it up. Because we didn't buy it up. Because we didn't get it. We didn't pull our resources together and buy it up and keep them from being able to get it. That's why they got it. That's why they come in and sell our people black foods. Because, hey, we ain't built a restaurant to sell our people our own food. Can you imagine your black self going to Chinatown and setting up a Chinese restaurant? Just think about it. Can you imagine your black self going to sell some Chinese folks some Chinese rice? Hell no. Nah. But they come all in our community, sell us chicken, sell us whatever. Whatever they think we eat, they sell it to us, and we buy it up like it ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because the revolutionaries ain't stood up and said nothing. I'm talking about in different cities. It was the same situation. We ain't stood up and said nothing. Or you leave a few of us out to hang, and then, you know what I mean, and don't come and support us. We got to be supported by the people. If I see you doing something revolutionary, I got to come and support you. If you see me doing something revolutionary, a revolutionary act, you got to support that. You got to get behind that with everything you got, because we all we got, family. You damn sure know if you see Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz doing something, you got to get behind that, man. With everything that you got, but what the naysayer is talking about, everybody gonna be a naysayer. Everybody got something nay to say. You know, that's what the animals be like. Nay, everybody gonna be a nay. And we ain't talking about no naysayers. If you a naysayer, we ain't talking to you because you ain't no revolutionary thinker. Revolutionary thinkers don't think like naysayers. Revolutionary thinkers don't think like you quitters and you punks and you sissies out there. If you that kind of thinker, this ain't for you. See, revolution ain't for everybody, man. This ain't for everybody. This is for those that are serious, that want to see change for real. This ain't for the pom-pom holders and those that want to sit on the bench while everybody else sweat and get busy. This ain't for you. This is for the ones that are serious about doing for self, man, however we can do it, who want to better themselves however we can do it. You know what I mean? This is for them types. This ain't for the ones that just want to sit around and matriculate and articulate how damn revolutionary they are, but they never hit the block, never get out in the field. You ain't never feeding no people, ain't clothing no people. You ain't showing them how the state ain't serving the needs of the people. You know what I'm saying? You ain't showing the people how it's our nature to be warriors and revolutionary. Just the fact that the man's name is Malik Zulu Shabazz should tell you something. Do you know who the Zulu are? You know what I'm saying? We could build a whole series off of just the Zulu. We could build a series off of the Watusi. We could build series, you know what I mean, off of the Mandinkas. We can build series off of our people. We come from a people that are warriors, man. We are a warrior people. We are fighters, and don't let nobody tell you that you're wrong for being a fighter. Don't let nobody tell you that you're wrong for wanting to smack the crap out of somebody sometimes and try to keep it G-rated. You might have the babies listening. But don't let nobody tell you that you're wrong for wanting to debate these fools and crush these crackers. And they got mad at Dr. Khalid Muhammad. They got mad at Dr. Khalid just because he was crushing crackers. How you going to get mad at the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad just for crushing crackers? I'm talking about black folks got mad because the man was crushing crackers all around the country. You know what I'm saying? Get mad at Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and the new Black Panther Party because we putting heat on them bastards. How you going to get mad? If you had any sense, you'd be saying, yeah, that's right. You know what I'm saying? That's what you do. If you had any sense, but you're going to get mad because we're messing up your money. For some of y'all out there, we're messing up your money. When you bring the new Black Panther Party around because the white folks is funding your movement, we're messing up your money. And I'm telling you, you're going to stay broke. You're going to stay broke messing with us. If the white man is funding your movement and you're talking about black power, you're going to have some empty pockets. Your pockets going to have rabbit ears. Man, the time for playing is out because our babies is being slaughtered out here. We're losing the battle out here. I mean, let's be real. Let's be real. We're not educating our own youth. Ain't enough liberation schools. Ain't enough freedom schools. Ain't enough interactive schools. Many of us have to work, which is understandable, to make ends meet. And so we're not able to we're not able to homeschool. We're not able to do the after school extracurricular learning and activity because we're trying to make ends meet. And so we're sending our babies to these schools so they can get slaughtered and get killed. Our babies get slaughtered and get killed in these schools. These are killing fields. So ain't no educational system. It's a straight up chopping block. It's like putting your head on the right there by the edge of the guillotine. You're putting your head by the edge of the guillotine. We sending our babies to the chopping block just to get their heads chopped off. They come back home talking about our pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and all this type of stuff, man. They come back with that. They don't come back talking about no Garvey. They don't come back talking about no Malcolm, talking about no Huey, talking about no Bunchy. They don't even come back talking about Tupac. So they come back talking about Elvis Presley. I mean, I'm just saying they're getting slaughtered, and they're looking for their parents, and they're looking for the elders and for the for those that are older, they're looking for us to guide them and help them out the situation. And all we can say is go to school and graduate and get a job. That's all we can say. Could you honestly look Emmett Till in the face and say that to Emmett Till? Can you honestly tell a brother like Emmett Till, all you got to do is work hard, go to school, get a job, and make something out of yourself, boy? Could you say that to Emmett Till? Hell no, you couldn't say that to no Emmett Till. Emmett Till murdered just for what they say, looking at a white lady. Now what they say, just looking. Murdered. I don't know if you saw the pictures. It's all, you know, it's all on the web. But just for looking, I mean, they mutilated that young brother. Mutilated him just for looking. And if you wouldn't say that to Emmett Till back then, why would you say that to the youth today? We are in a cyber war now. We're in a cyber war, straight up technological war, where everything that they used to do on a manual basis, they do it through technology. They up the game. They up the ante. They ain't got to run after us and chase us down with nooses when they can just noose us in the damn educational field and noose us in the political field and make us educationally and politically impotent and unable to strike. I mean, they up the ante. So what I'm saying is I don't want to make them no boogeyman, like they indestructible. It ain't like that. I'm just saying that it's up to us to figure out what to do. That's what I'm saying. It's up to us to organize on how we going to combat what's happening to the black nation. And when you see a sign like France, a place like France booming up with the Panther Party, you got to know that there's a ray of hope in the damn world, man. There's a ray of hope, a ray of light in the black nation. When you see a place like France and Lily White, London, England, come up talking about black power, now you know that's real. That's real. But we just got to see it in America. We gotta visualize it in America. You got to visualize freedom in America. What does freedom look like in America? Now, you know you're in a, I should say, we know we in a police state. Hell, we know that we in occupied territory. We know that the people's freedoms are being stripped away on a day-to-day basis. We know this, but if you ain't got no vision and you can't visualize what freedom looks like, how can you ever attain what freedom is? How can we attain what true freedom is if we can't even visualize it? Some of us are so whipped and so whooped, we can't even visualize freedom. You remind me of brothers and sisters who was emancipated off the plantation. And they had been enslaved so long that once they was emancipated and the slave master was like, all right, y'all go ahead on, they stayed on the plantation because that's all they knew. All that they had known for all that time was slavery, was servitude, was free labor, was the injustice. And so once they was given something as meager, it's not even freedom, but just emancipation. They had been slaves for so long, they didn't even know what to do because they were so used to being slaves for white folks. And I'm telling you straight, I think that we in the same condition today. I think that we've been enslaved in America in our minds and our behinds for so long that when the new Black Panther Party come along talking about black power and come along talking about we want freedom and we either get freedom or death, that many of us laugh and we don't even visualize what the hell we talking about. We think it's like a fantasy, you know? Like a pipe dream. Like like something we're talking about, but not something that we really want. Because we've been enslaved for so long that we don't see past the existence of what's happening in 2010. I remember coming up, they used to have like the Jetsons and them kind of shows, and they'd be talking about having all kind of spaced out technology. They got all that going on now, right? But where was the black folks in all of this? Where were black people in all of this? When you really think about it, and of course we're talking about a cartoon, but I'm just making a point. Where is the black man and black woman in terms of the future? If we, according to the old scriptures and the old tablets and manuscripts and all that, if we supposed to go from the bottom to the top, if the first gonna be last and the last gonna be first, how's that gonna happen unless we have some struggle? How's that gonna happen unless we have some liberation? How are we gonna get free unless there's a changing of the guard, man? You know, when the black woman give birth to our gods, to our young gods and goddesses, there's always some blood. There's always some bloodshed. Any time that you have life that is given, you know, or life that is produced, there's always bloodshed in birth. So how do we expect to move against the social order, against the 6,000-year-old social order without revolutionary change? We can't do it. It ain't going to happen. So I'm here to give the wake-up call. I got to talk to us from the ancestors. I got to give the wake-up call to my people that we asleep and that we got to get up. Got to wake up, got to shake ourselves up and shake ourselves off. Got to do for ourselves, as we heard the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey say. We got to do for ourselves, as we heard the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad say. We got to do for ourselves, as we heard Minister Malcolm X and the Black Panther Party in 1960 say. We got to do for ourselves. It's about us. I'm just saying that should be the slogan going into 2011. It's us over everybody. It's black over everything. You know how the brothers be saying it's money over everything? No, it's black over everything. If y'all want to say African, it's African over everything. It got to be about us. It got to be straight up about us. And even if you're working on the white man's job, you got to have in your mind a plan about what you're going to do for you in case they let you go from the job. You cannot let yourself get let go from the job, and then you just stuck out here. You just screwed because they let you go from the job. You know what I mean? You got to have a backup plan. If you believe for real, if you know for real that the white man is the devil, if you know this, why are you putting all your hope in them? Do you think they not going to show their nature? You think they not going to just show you one day, I can let you go? Of course. Everything's becoming robotic anyway. Everything's becoming technological. So sooner or later, all of the jobs that normally are done by black folks, are done by, you know, manual labor or what have you, all that shit is going to become technological. It's going to become straight up technological. It's going to become robotic. It's becoming robotic anyway. So we can all, those of us who got jobs, you can all lose your job tomorrow, tonight. Really? You can lose your job right now. But even if that happens, you got to be wise enough, and we got to be wise enough as a family to be able to talk about, if they let us go, what are we going to do? How you going to eat? How your baby's going to survive? How the baby's going to thrive? How you going to put food in your stomach if the white man cut you off from your work today? What are you going to do? Do you know how to farm? Do you know how to agriculture? What are you going to do? It's got to be some real conversation. When we talking about nation building, we got to have some real conversation. Do you know and do I know how to operate a tractor trailer? Do I know how to operate an irrigation system? These are questions I ask myself. You got to ask yourself, do I know how to put the seed and the corn seed down in the soil at the right time and how to keep the soil together to where it don't become bad soil? Because there is a such thing as useful land and unuseful land. Just because you put a seed in the soil, it don't mean it going to grow. It don't mean just because you drop the seed down in there that you're going to produce a crop or a harvest big enough to feed your family and feed yourself. It don't mean that. We got to think real. So there's some skills while we bickering and complaining as a black nation, one organization to the other, while we bickering and bitching, there's some skills that we have to acquire in order to establish nationhood. Got to acquire some skills. There's too much to do to be worried about what the next man or next woman ain't doing or is doing. There's too much to do. We got to stay focused on the goal, because the moment you take your eye off the goal and take your eye away from the target and take your eye off the prize, the moment we do that, that's when the white man further their agenda. See, they working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's always somebody working for the white agenda. They don't never shut down. They just change shifts. That's all they do. They just change shifts. First shift come in, first shift leave. Second shift come in, second shift leave. Third shift come in, third shift leave. Graveyard shift come in, and they do it all over again, all in the name of the white power structure. It's the same thing. The same way it happens on a job, the same way it happens when you're maintaining the white power structure, the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? So they're doing this 24 hours a day, 24 hours a day. And then you're telling me that the black man and black woman, we only going to give an hour. We're only going to give 2 hours. We're only going to give, you know what I mean, a half an hour or half a day to black power, the black cause, black liberation, black struggle. We're going to only take, you know what I mean, 20 minutes of our time to think about political prisoners and prisoners of war. We're only going to take a few minutes out of our time to talk about the racist death penalty as it's applied to black and oppressed people. You're only going to take a few minutes out of your time to think about and talk about and organize for the innumerable amounts of black men and women locked behind enemy lines. You're only going to take a moment of a time. You're only going to take a moment of time to talk about black-on-black violence, gang warfare, drugs in our community. You're only going to take a moment of time. They're working 24 hours a day to talk about police brutality and misconduct. You're only going to take a second out of your day and all that's happening to think about unjust wars and our babies being sent and put on the front line as cannon fodder and shields for even the white soldiers and other soldiers. You only got a few minutes of your time to think about that. And they working 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. It's shameful. We're not going to build our nation like that. We're not going to have a successful nation like that if we're only taking a few seconds out of our day to do something for black and black power, and everything else revolves around maintaining the order, having a daily routine. See, that's what they do in the prisons. That's what I'm trying to get y'all to understand. Just because you are not behind bars, in terms of, you know, being locked down, it don't mean we ain't in prison on the streets. When they tell me what I was told, you know, from being teaching in out of penitentiaries, when you in that type of situation, you got to develop a program. You got to develop a routine that you do every day in order to survive. And it's the same thing that we do in the streets out here in the so-called free world. We develop a routine. We develop daily activities that we do every single day that ultimately don't amount to black freedom and black liberation. Think about it. Do the same routine over and over and over again, really until you die, until we die, that does not amount to black liberation and black salvation. See? So you develop a program for survival. You don't develop the program just because you want to be free. We develop it just to make, you know what I mean, just to make our days go by and our nights go by. So what I'm saying is this. You got to deprogram. We got to deprogram, got to change the program. You got to begin to take time out of your schedules. I know we're busy. Many of us got families, we got lives, we got wives, we got husbands, girlfriends, and all kind of extras, right? But we have to take time out of our schedule to begin to think about black power, black empowerment, the future of our race, the future of our people, the future of our destiny. We've got to begin right now in talking about and organizing for what's happening. And the most important part of that is organizing. You got to organize something. You can't affect no change just being on the radio and just listening to the radio. That ain't all the change is. It's cool, but you can't, and I can't, affect no streets just talking all the damn time. Some of us just talk too damn much. Just talk. That's all. Every time you see us, we just talking. Talking. We just talking. You'll never see us on the block, never see us in the field, never see us causing no problem, never see us doing nothing revolutionary. We just professional talkers. You know what I mean? We just like consultation artists. We just want to talk. And it's like, nah, that's not what's going to get us free. We got to talk to be able to plan. We got to talk to be able to strategize and plot. But after the talk, hell, you got to have some action. Somebody saying they're going to hit you in your mouth ain't the same as somebody actually hitting you in your mouth. It ain't the same thing. We got to, after the talk, be willing to go to work and get busy. And it don't got to be nothing. It don't even got to be nothing drastic. You can just start small. We can start small. If we would just start small and just do little things. You can just go around your neighborhood if your neighborhood is dirty. Just start cleaning up a block or clean up two blocks. You know what I'm saying? Or work to three blocks. However you want to do it, we can just start having, you know, instead of immediately having a global idea of a globalist revolution, just start having little small revolutions within your own cipher, your own circumference. Just work on a small personal revolution that you can do immediately. Like I say, it can be anything. Hell, if it ain't nothing but just going to your people and telling your people about their own greatness, whatever you want to do. But we can all do something. And we all have talents, we all have skills, we all have abilities that's in us that ain't no other people in this world, in this universe got. All of us got time and talent and effort and skills that ain't nobody else got. And if we don't give that gift from the Creator and our ancestors to the black nation, nobody else in the universe in the future will ever be able to give that gift to our people. We need unity. Unity is the only thing that we have not successfully tried. We need unity. Our unity will be more powerful, they say, than an atomic bomb. If we united, that don't mean that just because we in unity that we agree on every single nuance and every single thing, that we agree everybody, you know what I'm saying, gotta wear brown or something. But being in unity means that we have one common goal. We have one common focus. We have one singular common objective that we must accomplish. That's unity. That's U-N-I-T-Y. One common goal, one common purpose, one common objective. See, when you talk unity, that don't mean that everybody has to agree the same way, talk the same way, walk the same way, and think the same way. Don't mean that. That's not unity. Hell, husbands and wives don't even think the same way all the time, don't agree on everything all the time, and they husbands and wives. They one unit. But that's what gives the balance. So I'm not saying we all got to do the same thing. I'm saying that we got to know that there's one objective, one common focus. And we got to understand that there's a common enemy. And see, that was one thing that the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General, it's one thing he always stressed. He always stressed that we have one common enemy. Our national chairman,
Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz said the same thing. We have one common enemy. And so if we have one common objective, which is to build a nation. I mean a real nation, not a fake nation, but a real nation. If we have one objective to build a real nation, and if we know we have one common enemy, then there is no way that with all the talent that our people have, that we couldn't just organize amongst ourselves to begin to solve our own issues. See, it sounds like fantasy because we ain't seen it. We ain't seen black people working in a cooperative manner to get free. You know, and when we do begin to work in a cooperative manner, then you have people that want to be the rulers and want to be the chief. And it's like, nah, you got to, the person that's going to be the chief has to be the person who has the best knowledge, the most superior knowledge, whether male or female. This ain't about no chauvinism. It's about whoever has the superior knowledge in a particular area. That's the person that's going to be the chief, going to be the leader of whatever's going on in terms of nationhood. We build a nation, and I don't know nothing about carpentry, for example, and if you know something about carpentry, hell, you the leader. Shit, you the one that's going to tell us how to get this carpentry work done. That's how this thing go. It's got to be cooperative. Everybody can't be seen. And everybody can't be heard. And you're going to have some people that will be seen. Some people that will be heard. But we're going to decide it amongst ourselves. If we get busy building up a nation, we don't got time to worry about, you know what I mean, the white man so much. We make the white man too big sometimes. Make the white folks like they just indestructible, you know, boogeymen and boogeywomen, and they, you know, they can't be toppled and can't be defeated and they can't be usurped, and that's incorrect. That's improper. If the black nation get busy building up itself, then the white nation got to sit the hell down anyway, because everything that we do as a people, it supports this economy. See what I'm saying? Everything that we do, it supports this economy. Black people support the white power structure really almost more than anybody else on the globe. We the richest slaves anywhere in the world. So much money that flows throughout the black community. We got so much money that flows throughout the black community, but we ain't got enough sense to build up black. So it's just like they say, it's like if they gave us reparations solely in the form of money, it's like they say, and they're right. Here we, many of our people, because of our ignorance, that go out and buy a whole bunch of things that depreciate in value, you know what I mean, and be souping up our cars and souping up our stereos and houses and homes and all this, and we will forget to buy up the land. We forget to buy up the land. See, that's why they work to keep the revolutionaries broke. They work to keep us separated from the money. They will hurry up and give you the money if you don't know what to do with it. But hell, if you know what to do with it, they trying to keep you in a desolate state. And so, family, we hope to bring back Brother Kimmy Sebo another time. I don't know what happened to him, but hell, what we got to talk about tonight was enough to talk about France, enough to talk about the U.S. It's enough to help you to understand what the need for black power is and what the need for the Panther is. Become a Panther. Man, I want to look for y'all emails. Email me your comments, your suggestions. MVPPHQ@yahoo.com. And, of course, you know newblackpanther.org is the website. As always, as we say, we love you more than you hate yourself. And, of course, to my people, to my revolutionaries, I got to say black power to you. And so until the next show, we will leave you as we came. We'll leave you and hope that you feel our spirit and feel our sentiment. And from our sentiment, know that there's got to be some work done. We leave you with a mighty black power. This one's for all the leaders. Leaders, let's all take the mind. This one's for all the leaders. Leaders, let's all take the mind. Take the mind. Yeah, got out the 600, running chicks on them. Neighborhood know we coming. JK them, snakes cannot violate them. Pimps memorize his life.
him. He reps in Y.O. Yes, he knows Toronto. Not church, this how we tie, though. He walks in tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back, Mac and Benzes. Never puts cash or ass before a friendship. He laughs last, and some die young, he is still existing. Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch. When he talks, we listen.
This one's for all the leaders.
And as you as they look at me, everything you like it fresh from the factory. Everything you do it impact me. Your lifestyle attract me, parents try distract me. When I grow up I want to be like you exactly. And as soon as I get up I this acne, there's no way anybody could have stopped me.
But gravity to what the aura and all the mannerism, descending out of order and man start moving busy. Locking up the corners, the streets and all the buildings. Love you like a father, ready and me willing. Anything where you are taught is lying my dominion. And me have similar thoughts, I share the same opinions. Me have it say it's smart, with my best interest at heart. I'm following your path, your mind where you are what.
The Caesar, the monsters, the grandiose, the martyrs, the hell on earth pompers, Ellsworth, Bumpy Johnsons, the Harlemites, the Garveyites, black as the credit card we swipe, popping down tonight for all of mine. I can see myself back at the Audubon, Malcolm on the podium, shells dropped to linoleum, swipe those, place them on display at the Smithsonian, next to only gems that were left behind by holy men, infectious, charisma of those who gave us direction, the anti-sexist, resistance against oppression, progressive thinking, ghetto speakers, protesters against the colored only section, to the Genesixin, the frost mixing, the contradiction, the cross, the crucifixion, the loss we took for sinning, on Easter's back inscription, that it was written, that nothing is coincidence, and they took our leaders and they lynched them.
This one's for all the leaders.